Okay, we tried.
Give me one more second because I leave her mom some.
May I make a comment on this?
Yes.
I think it's time that we stop doing this. Even though I agree at the beginning, reluctantly.
Well, let's do this. Why don't we do this during supervisor's comments? We'll get our meeting started and we'll open it up and we'll do that.
Do you want me to try to call her mother's number or no?
No, I don't think so. You have the number on file. It didn't work. So I suggest that you would communicate with her via email and ask her what our intentions are going forward. So I see we are at 6:16. We'll call the monthly meeting to order. First thing is roll call.
I'm good.
Here.
Looks like everyone is here. Yeah. Is there anyone who's not here? I would say all present accounted for. We have our youth and governance.
What up to youth governance?
Physically here. Have you had the opportunity to have each person in the room, do you know their names or have you ever met them before or anything like that?
Yeah, she was at a couple of meetings before.
I haven't met you, but I just did.
We just did.
And
you're the mentor, right?
Yes, I am.
And I think I've met both of you. I know I've met him, but I've never met you.
Well, let's just go on the table. Supervisor Bird.
You probably have, but I have blonde hair.
Okay, I didn't even know who she was.
So starting with Supervisor Bird, let's go around the table and just introduce ourselves.
Andy Bird.
I'm Karen.
I am Dave Celebrate.
Kathy from Human Services.
Naya Taylor from the Division of Workforce Development.
Okay. Laura Bowski.
Zach Rodriguez.
I'm Amy Maurer.
I'm Phil Grady. And we are all supervisors except for our two persons at the end there, which are considered administration for Human Services. Very well. Chairman, supervisors' comments. I'll refer to supervisors first. Supervisor Nudo, do you have a comment?
Well, yeah, I guess I can make the comment now. Is we try to be having one of the other government, sorry, but I'm really bad with names, so, but I think this is the second time that we're trying, and I don't think we should keep on trying, we cannot get to like this.
You chaired the last meeting, is that correct?
Correct.
And so, if I understand correctly, the same thing was attempted last time. Person was not available.
Actually, the last meeting we tried her number and her mother's number.
Correct.
We tried both numbers. I think it's. I feel sorry. I feel bad that she cannot be here physically. We tried to bend the rules and everything. I know. I remember times with the county board supervisors that could not attend the meeting and it was not given them the same rights to do that. But I think it's time that we stop to do that.
Well, I wonder if maybe we should bring it up in our next legislative committee in January, mm-hmm. and maybe start setting some parameters of, what are the steps that are taken, and same goes for us.
I know they've had
that issue on the state level. Well, maybe we need to have that issue here because maybe there are times where somebody's going to break both legs because they were in a car accident or something.
All due respect, though, youth and governance is overseen by planning, development, education, extension. So I'm not sure that our legislative would be the appropriate committee to discuss that aspect.
Well, in terms of putting...
Well, the supervisors, I get, but, having to make exceptions for youth and governance, that would be overseen by PDAC.
I think that we should try just sending a letter to her and her mother and saying that while we understand the circumstances, perhaps she'd like to try and work with a committee or group at a later time when she's able to attend the meetings. As simple as that. Instead of making a big thing about it.
So, oversight committee, really, youth and governance is PDAC, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I think what we should do is we should formulate some type of consensus here this evening. It should be notarized or notated by Kathy, and then we'll make a recommendation to PDAC going forward. I tend to be a little bit more, generous or liberal as this goes. I could see a three strikes and out possibility. We have two strikes right now. We have another meeting coming up the first part of January, and that could be an option as well. But I think right here this evening, let's come to some type of consensus as a committee as how I proceed forward with a recommendation to PDAC. further discussion?
I think if anything, we could ask PDEC to act should we not be able to get a hold of her for the third meeting.
Agreed. That's a good thing.
Could you repeat that? You're just quiet.
Ask PDEC to take some sort of action should come the January meeting we're unable to contact the student.
All right.
Which would be, namely, to have her be no longer part of the program. I think that would be the operative message.
I agree.
Which that part will be on PDEC.
Right.
Setting up the rules and all it's going to be done actually will be part of us. You know, or the legislature.
Well, we can say as far as this committee goes, we have to have this minimum criterion in our particular opinion. Exactly. How you implement it, what you do, PDEC, that, you know, that's
right. That would be
PDEC. That's our recommendation.
Right.
Further.
I will just say that after the last meeting, I did email her and Vicki LaFleur from UW Extension or wherever she's from. And I got no response from Sydney at all.
So please do indicate that in the minutes here going forward as a part of the PDEC correspondence. And then if you'd be so kind, just copy each one of us in the committee here that we can see what the correspondence to PDEC will be.
Okay.
Further questions or comments on that? Anyone? Youth and Governance?
Me? Don't they already have a policy that's the same thing? If we're not here for 80% of our meetings, we get taken out in December or January or something. It's kind of the same thing you're saying, except not the three strikes you're out there.
So we can visit that as well. Yeah.
Sounds like we don't even need to.
That may be the case, but to leave no gray area, let's carry it forward with our. Supervisors' comments. Any other supervisors like comment on anything else germane to our meeting this evening? Seeing none, supervisors' comments are closed. Chairman, I don't really have anything. I think this would be our meeting for this month. Do we have a scheduled date for next month?
Yeah,
the
6th.
Is it the 6th?
Sorry, 7th. The 7th.
I was thinking the 7th.
The 7th.
Sounds like Epiphany.
Yep, January 7th.
Yep.
I'm assuming that would precede a regular county board meeting here. Sorry. Good. That concludes my comments. Approval of the minutes November 11th, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Supervisor Nuno moves. Supervisor Belsky seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
We are now at the item number 5, resolution to approve the appointment of Laura Belsky to the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency Board. May I have a motion, please? Supervisor Berg?
Second.
Second, Celebrate. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'll abstain.
Noted. Completely noted.
We'll let you.
I know.
We won't even ask you for a reason. For your
I was just going to tell you. You'll be on the committee. That's not correct.
So we're voting on Laura being named to this particular Community Action Agency Board. Presentation, Kim Peters, Nicole Boyer, Division of Workforce Development.
Is not.
Supports updates.
Nina Taylor.
Well.
Hello.
Do you guys want one of these?
We weren't sure we would be able to have capabilities to have a PowerPoint on the screen, so we did have it sent out today, and we have a handout again. So thank you for passing the Division of Workforce Development's budget. We greatly appreciate that. And thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight to talk about some of the critical services in this division. So I'm going to concentrate on economic support and child support services tonight. And please feel free to stop me at any time during the presentation if you have any questions. So first I'm going to start with child support services. That's number 2, page 2. The page numbers are on the left side. And we have some child support data for you. So we're looking at program year 2018 and 2019 comparison on the month of September.
In the next column, we have the caseload for child support services in Kenosha County. And the caseload has gone up, as you can see, in 2019. And since October, it's gone up even more. So we're at 72 more cases. So the caseload's growing in Kenosha County. And then in the next column, we have the dollar amount collected. And this is a monthly dollar amount, which is $2,789,000. And in 2019, it's down a little bit. And the reason why it's down a little bit is because the change in the federal tax law, we didn't get as much federal tax money back on our federal tax intercepts. So that way, we didn't get as many collections on arrears as we usually do. And then the collection rate in the next column, that's one of our performance measures on how we receive funding. So we want that to stay level and hopefully increase. It's very difficult to increase that number because we're an urban community. We have large caseloads. The specialists have about 1,100 cases per worker, and we're on the border. So you have people going back and forth across the border and up to Racine, and then we have to find them and collect the money. But we still have gone up 0.09%. And then the health insurance rate, we are tasked with enforcing health insurance orders from our non-custodial parents. So when we establish an order, it has an order for the individual, mother or father, whoever it is, well, actually both parents, to provide health insurance. But it has to be offered at a reasonable rate from the employer, and that is 10% of gross income or less. So if it's greater than that, the individual does not have to insure the children. So that's gone up a little bit. And then we have employment programs and child support. We have a Children First program, which is an employment program through the judiciary, and it has an enforcement arm. And then we have a voluntary program, and that's called Elevate. And it's an expansion of supporting parents, supporting kids. And it also has a research component with the University of Wisconsin. So we've been consistent from last September to this September that we had 11 employments per month. And then the second to last column there is negotiated release lump sums collected. And what that is if someone's gone through the contempt process, it's a lengthy process with due process, but at some point if they are not doing what they're supposed to do, either join an employment program so that we can help them find work and pay their child support. These individuals, if they haven't done anything along the course of the judicial process, they may be ordered to go to jail, and then the judge can set a purge amount. So if you pay this amount, you don't have to go to jail. You can postpone if you continue to pay and do what's required of you. So that amount will vary based on the judiciary that are assigned, and they rotate every 3 years. So last year it was a little bit more than it is this year. But annually we usually collect about 250 to 350,000 because of this process for Kenosha County. And then we also, in child support, we collect child support for out-of-home placement. So if the children are taken out of the home in a foster care situation, if the parents have the ability to pay, then we will set an order for them to pay. And normally it's a short-term order, and then there's arrears that we will collect on, so hence that might be why the amount's a little lower, because the federal tax intercepts, again, have gone down. But we have seen that the orders are lasting longer now because children are in out-of-home care longer because it's harder for parents to resolve addiction issues that they may have. So on the next slide, slide 3, I stated some of our outcomes in general for child support services. And we did change the name this year from child support enforcement to child support services because we want to be family-friendly and try to help people get on their feet before we use enforcement tools. So the state's total child support caseload has decreased by over 4,000 cases in 2018 to 2019, but Kenosha County's caseload is increasing. And we receive incentive money for our collections on current and arrears support and on the establishment of court orders and paternity. So if we have any staff reductions, this could lower these rates and result in a loss of state and federal dollars. And it's important to note that Kenosha County has been incrementally improving their performance rates for several years now, and they're quite proud of that. Annually, Child Support Services in Kenosha collects over $36 million a year in child support, arrears, and other costs,
which greatly benefits families and the community, bringing income into the home. Any questions on child support?
No, thank you. If I can, not really.
Supervisor, you wrote that.
36 million dollars.
Yeah.
Sounds quite a bit. Most of it. How many do we have? 11,000 cases? Mm-hmm. So basically, the 36 million, not equally, but it's split between the 12,000 cases.
Well, we also have a section of the caseload called non-4D, which we do not enforce.
Which means what? I'm sorry.
It means that we're not allowed to use our enforcement measures such as lien dockets,
okay,
or court. These are like private divorces that don't want to be involved in the system.
Okay.
But we have to do their wage assignment and collect the money and take the phone calls and see the walk-ins. So that's included in that total.
So it's a little bit more than 12,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When we take a look at the caseload decreasing by the state, yet increasing in Kenosha County. Why is that? What is your view of that?
My opinion is what we've been doing in the last couple of years is that we're doing outreach to the non-4D cases. Because if we're going to work on these cases, we want to get paid for them.
Okay.
We're not getting paid for doing the work on the non-4D case, so we're trying to get people with new orders to come into our program so that we can get more reimbursement.
Okay.
Just they don't have to.
They don't have to.
Just in general, if you were also to look at other cause or rationale, you know, you could look at it and just say, you know, Kenosha County has a higher need based upon whatever situation it could be. It could be just a similar percentage of individuals, but now we have more people coming into the area for jobs and so forth. You could say we're static and we have, you know, about the same number of population, but just due to whatever conditions are here, there needs to be greater utilization. Just from those two to pick from, would one predominate?
I would say because the community. There's more people in the community that are establishing child support orders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Further questions for
population size.
Nina, on this particular facet of the presentation?
For those that are incarcerated, not so much on a county level, but on a state level, until there's a change to their income or submitted to the courts for change of income, if they're not able to pay the, say, $300 a month because they're only making a quarter an hour in the DOC, is there an interest that's tacked on to that?
Yes, they gather interest.
They gather interest. So mm-hmm. Has there ever been any sort of legislation? Because really what we're doing is we're holding them down by adding more money on top of what they can't pay when they're, and granted, they did something stupid to get in there. I get all that. But you can't just keep kicking a horse when it's down.
Yeah, you raise a very good point, Supervisor Berg, because then people are getting released from incarceration and they have such an insurmountable debt. It's overwhelming, and sometimes they just go back to old behaviors instead of having hope. You know, they can file a motion with the court, and if the custodial parent doesn't object and the court agrees, they might stop the child support and have it recommence 60 days upon release. But it's not in the law or in the legislation to automatically stop. The federal government is looking at that, and it seems like they're supportive of that because they feel it's better for families.
Well, I don't know if so much cutting, like stopping their child support, is the answer. I mean, they're still making a quarter an hour or whatever that is. You know, it's maybe more money working on it than... has there ever been any proposed legislation in Wisconsin that you're aware of?
No, I've just heard discussions at the Bureau of Child Support in Madison. I think some fatherhood groups are interested in that, and the people that are concerned about the high incarceration rate in Wisconsin, particularly with the African Americans, they're very concerned about that too, in the fatherhood groups. So it's like the conversations are starting, but it needs to happen in the legislature where they change the rules.
Yeah, because I've heard folks in the DOC say, don't tell them about what they're right. Don't tell them about this. And it's like, whoa, are you kidding me? They like, no, you can't tell them that they can have that adjusted.
Oh,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I'm not going to name names right here, but...
Well, we'll reach out to someone if we know they're going to be incarcerated 6 months or more in prison.
Okay. So you get a list or you get that from the courts?
We might find out from the non-custodial parent. We might find out when we're doing a locate and we're checking prisons to find somebody because we don't know where they are. We check CCAP, you know. Usually when we haven't heard from somebody, we're going to look in CCAP. Maybe they're incarcerated. We'll wait to see when they're sentenced, if it's going to be longer than 6 months.
Well, I'd be interested in sitting down with you and putting a resolution together and to tie the DOC's hand a little bit more on that, to make sure that when they're brought to intake at Dodge or TCI, that that's part of what they have to do.
I would be interested in that, too.
So let's, if we can, one day sit down and write something up or come up with ideas or something.
Yes, I like that. And they also, DOC affects the next part program we're going to talk about, economic support, because we need to know when someone's incarcerated right away so we can stop their food share. Most of that a benefit isn't going out that shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. If I can piggyback on Supervisor Berg's comments, is it also not the case that you cannot forgive any accumulated child support arrears for those who are incarcerated and have racked up these relatively large amounts as well, correct?
Well, the custodial parent can.
Yes.
But the child support program has no authority to do that.
Okay.
We can waive any state debt that might be out there, and we do that pretty proactively now.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. Because if they don't have the ability to pay, that's one of the reasons why we can write it off.
Okay.
And they don't.
Thanks.
Yep. Okay. Now we're on slide 4, and this is some economic support data. And economic support provides food share, employment and training, elderly, blind, and disabled, and long-term care coverage for Medicaid and Badger Care programs, and child care and energy assistance. So again, it's a year-to-year comparison. And the Medicaid caseload has gone down about 470 cases since last September. People are being referred to the marketplace, or maybe it's eligible through their employer, so that's why they're not needing as much Medicaid. And the food share, that number of households, and that could have 1 to 8 children in the household, that's gone down by 348 cases. Now child care, the households have increased by 36 families. And one of the things about child care, they made a change in child care that when you lose your job, you still get the child care for 3 months. It'll stay open, which at first it didn't make sense. But then when you think about it, if I lost my job, if I can have the child care for 3 months, then I can look for a new job. And then I can keep working. And then if they don't find a job in 3 months, then they would lose their child care. And then energy assistance, we've seen that go up by 259 households. And I feel it's because we've been doing outreach to the elderly. A lot of the elderly don't know that they're eligible for energy assistance and food share, and they're going without a lot with that they're eligible for. So we want to make sure they're taken care of. And then on slide 5 is the big deal with economic support, which pretty much drives our business. It's the WKRP call center. And WKRP stands for Wisconsin Kenosha Racine Partnership. So we had to form consortiums in 2012 to provide economic support services. And Walworth was going to go in with us, but I think they got worried to be with two urban counties. So they bailed ship and went with somebody else. And so we have a primarily urban call center, so it's very busy. We're the we have only 2 counties in our consortium, and other consortium have 4 to 10, but we have 7% of the caseload. So when we're looking at September to September again in 2019, our volume on our call center has gone up 2,500 calls from last year, even though some of the caseload's gone down, you know, with the Medicaid and the food share. And we all talk about, you know, what's going on with this call center to try to figure it out, because our performance metrics are based on this call center outcome. And I think people are calling in and they can't get through and they hang up. They wait 5 minutes and they hang up. So it makes our call volume keep going up if they can't get somebody right away. And our average speed of answer, it was 4.4 minutes in 2018 in September, but now it's 8.52 minutes. And our contract requirement is 10 minutes or less. So we're always watching that to make sure that it stays under 10 minutes. And the more the volume goes up, the more we're trying to look at different ways to do things. We actually went to other counties, urban counties, to find out what they're doing. So maybe we might have to change our process.
I'd love to sit down with you because in my professional career, I ran a call center for 66,000 PCs and entire network. And so I'm pretty good at these kind of numbers and figuring out what you should be capturing.
That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll reach out to you.
Sounds good.
Okay. And then our answer rate has gone down a lot from 91% to 80%. That's not a contract requirement, but it's a customer service thing, you know, so you don't want to see it at 80%. Now, we have to process documents that people fill out for renewals, applications, and changes for their benefits. And our documents have gone up. So they've gone up from last year, even though some of the programs have been reduced. And I think that's because there's more reporting requirements that we have. And we tell people that. Like, if they're getting food share, you have to tell us if your job changes. And so people are calling in, and we have to update their documents. But I'm very proud that for the last column, the percent of documents processed timely, the benchmark's 95%, and we've increased that, and we're at 99%. So that's good. Now, when you want to determine your eligibility, you can do it via that. Sure.
I have a question. In regard to the call center, is there also some sort of online access that people, like you said, with the documents processed and such, that they can access without having to use the call center?
Yes, they can do it online, and they rolled out, the state did, a mobile app this last year. And so now we're putting that in the phone script on the phone so people hear that, to keep reinforcing it, and we have staff reinforce it on the form. So, you know, instead of waiting, maybe they'll go to their app on their phone. Yeah. And then they can also come into the agency.
So I got another question now that you say that. You may or may not have it. Without giving addresses, can you find out what districts have the higher rate of that are your customers?
Yeah, we can ask the state to pull reports based on zip code, so we can see concentrations in areas.
Okay, and so with that, is there any material that you give out that has the app information on it?
Yes, we do have material. We have little handouts we can give people. We have signage, and they mail things to people with their, when they get their regular mailings, they notify them of this. But I think it needs to be heavier in the call center, because that's where we're seeing most of our activity.
Because I would be open to distributing in my district.
Okay.
If that was the case. I've distributed other things that, you know, let them know what's going out there, you know. Many people don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I can get you that. Okay, and then on the next slide six, some of the outcomes. So as I stated, the child care and energy assistant needs are increasing. And then we had the average speed of answers is higher than we would like, and our answer rate is lower than we would like. And then we contribute that we had a reduction in staff. We had three limited term employees that we do not have anymore. When we had the Affordable Care Act, we got additional funding, and so we had six LTEs, actually, and even more when we had more funding. And then we got rid of all six, but I say three here because you were kind enough to bless us with three employees last year. So that made up for the six we lost, but we still are down three. And then our economic support employees, two-thirds of them are less than 3 years in the position, and it's a very challenging position. You have to know a lot. You have to figure out how to budget. You have to figure out how to motivate people when you interview them. And you're doing a lot of multitasking in various systems. The classroom training for the economic support specialist is 16 weeks in a class. And then they go out on the floor, and the full development occurs from between 1 to 2 years. And in WKRP, with our call center, we mandate that you can only be on after call, which means you hung up with someone and you wind up what you've been doing, and you got to get on the next call within 3.5 minutes. So we want to make sure that we meet that after call so that we can meet the contract requirements. And so finally, our call center volume has increased by 16%.
I have a question. If you have a reduction in your workforce and you've got contractual obligations, how do those get reconciled?
That would be a problem. We'd probably be under a corrective action.
Really?
Yes.
What's the sanction for violating the the obligations under the agreement?
They come down and they are with us for quite a while to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and finding remedies to solve the problem. And we might have to pull away from fraud investigations to meet the expectations, but we don't want to pull away from quality control and error rates, because that can affect money coming from the federal government to the state to implement these programs. So if you pull from one area, you're squeezing, you know, that area, and you could be affecting funding all around. So yeah, it would be very detrimental to our programs. And then on slide 7, I just wanted to talk about poverty a little bit. There's many ways to measure poverty. The U.S. poverty threshold is $12,000 annually for a single individual, and then in the United Kingdom, it's another number. The U.S. Census Bureau uses a different number to establish the poverty threshold. And one of the notes that I saw, or one of the findings that I saw at the University of Wisconsin Institute for Research on Poverty's website, was that second bullet point, and I thought that was rather telling, that the state's growing economy has had little effect on the poverty rate, as the rising cost of living, especially in the areas of child care and medical care, offset the gains in the earnings and employment. And it left Wisconsin's poverty rate in 2017 as a whole 10.2%, about the same as it was in 2010, which is 10.3%. And the U.S. Census Bureau estimate for July 2018 for Kenosha County's poverty rate is 11.4%. I think in 2012 it was 12.4%. And then on the last slide, I think this ALICE report really illustrates who are the customers that we see and we serve. And ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. The United Way ALICE report says that ALICE households have income above the federal poverty level, but below a basic survival threshold. They're made up of working households, men and women, young and old, all races and ethnicities, and they live in every county in Wisconsin, urban and rural. So in their findings, and I put their website on here in case you're interested in looking at it, and it's a rather long report. But they say that 65% of jobs pay less than $20 per hour, and of these, 47% of those are paying between $10 and $15 per hour. So one unexpected bill or family crisis in housing or medical, they could be in need for public assistance. They could be possibly homeless. So it's challenging for these individuals. They're living month to month, and they're barely making ends meet. So those are the people we see. And an example of some of our customers are a warehouse employee. They have a pay range between $12 and $16 per hour. So if they have a family of four and they're earning $12 per hour, that would be $24,960 gross, and they would be eligible for Badger Care, Food Share, and Wisconsin Shares Child Care. That's what they call child care in Wisconsin. They call it Wisconsin Shares Child Care. And then, ironically, our economic support specialists who provide these benefits and determine the eligibility, if you're a single parent household of four and you're earning the wage of an economic support specialist when you start, which is $19.72 per hour, they would be eligible for food share and child care. And the children would be eligible for Badger Care. And so when we see people coming in, the people who are in poverty or have limited assets and that, they're getting jobs, part-time jobs between $8.50 and $11 an hour, full-time jobs between $10 and $12 an hour. And this is on average. These are the people that we're working with through our employment programs. So what we're trying to do is help them build on their skills. But in child support, for example, people don't want to take the time to go take courses or take training or certificate programs because they want to start paying their child support right away and they don't want to wait. They don't want to get in trouble with the court. And so they might take a temp job just so they can get money coming in,
And then I've heard this from customers who come in. They'll take these temp jobs, and then they feel real positive about it. This is going to work out. They're going to hire me. And 9 times out of 10, they don't hire them when it's time to get insurance benefits. Mm. So then they move on to the next temp job. So it's very challenging. So any questions so far? So I hope this has provided a good picture of our business requirements and the customers that we serve. And if you ever have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Mm-hmm. And I'll make sure to follow up with both of you.
Okay. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Our quick question, can you take a look at the way that the funds are dispersed in terms of, well, I'll back up. We know that Human Services in general has a lot of pass-through funds, whether it's Federal State coming in to help Kenosha County. In this particular situation, can you give us an approximation, state, fed, local, levy dollars, what the approximate percentages would be for a program such as this, just in very broad terms?
Hmm. So you want percentages of levy, state, and federal?
Yes, in terms of just approximate, you know, to the nearest 5 or 10%, just so we can kind of get our minds around it.
Well, for child support, it's 2/3 federal. It's a federal match of 2/3, and then a third comes from the state, and then we put some levy into child support too.
Okay.
And then with economic support, it's a 50-50 match of federal and state, and we do have to put some levy into that program as well.
So really, the levy, where we're at, a part of this thing we're looking at, is really quite the small component.
Yes.
As you say, in fact, is that the kind of bottom line?
Right. And getting the match is really what makes it work.
Right. Other questions for Ms. Taylor?
I look forward to meeting with you.
Thank you.
Me too.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate. Have a good holiday, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
Any other businesses authorized by law? Any other things going on here? No. Seeing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You from government. Thank you. We're adjourning until next month.
Are you going to?
No.